Welcome to the Community Broadband Bits podcast from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. This is Lisa Gonzalez. In this episode, Christopher Mitchell connects with Mike Scott, city manager from Moultrie, Georgia. Moultrie is one of several rural communities working in concert to bring internet, TV, and phone to local citizens at an affordable price. Moultrie and the surrounding region is yet another community that needed to serve itself when the private sector stayed away. Mike and Chris talk a little about how these communities came together to create their own network that serves households, businesses, schools, libraries, and government in Moultrie. In addition to spurring economic development, Mike describes how Moultrie's approach also centers on quality of life and how the network has managed to expand beyond the borders of Moultrie. Let's go to the interview.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Community Broadband Bits. Today I'm talking with the city manager, Mike Scott, city manager of Moultrie, Georgia. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about Moultrie and what the situation is there in terms of the economics and the size of the community, whether you're rural, all those sorts of details?
Moultrie's a community of about 15,000 people in a county of approximately 40,000 people. We're in southwest corner of Georgia. It's a rural area, heavily agriculture, and we're a full-service city. We do solid waste, water, sewer, electric, natural gas, and telecommunications. So we offer all those services.
So you have this incredible network that has helped to keep jobs in the community and bring new jobs to the community. Can you tell us a little bit about the early days and why you decided to get involved in telecommunications?
In the late 90s, when the internet was just becoming the buzz, we were trying to get internet capabilities into our cities. And the large telecom providers just were not making that investment, and we could not even get an answer when we might get the internet service and the high-speed data services that are required by businesses. And as everybody knows, that just kept growing at a very fast pace, and we were falling behind. And we saw that it was a quality of life thing for our citizens, but also we needed it for economic development. If we did not provide that service, we're going to be left in the dust, and we weren't willing to do that.
So you did have a cable network, right?
We had various companies supplying cable TV in the communities, and then the city of Thomasville had started their dial-up service, and they were providing dial-up service to their communities, and these four cities had talked about looking at different ways that we could provide services to our communities at lower cost just by aggregating our customer and our citizen base. And it kept coming back to poor service on the cable, but also internet was becoming a more important issue than the cable. And we, as I said, we just couldn't get any answers or any commitments on when we would be brought into the to get those services.
You certainly had a tradition of solving your own problems with the, as you said, you're a full service city.
Absolutely. I mean, we've kind of pride ourselves. We've been self-reliant down here, and we're all electric cities. We all have natural gas, so those synergies were really working for us. We're in close proximity to each other, and we work. I mean, we assist each other all the time anyway. It came together very easily. But the template for the four cities and four counties working together was kind of amazing. In the early days, we had a group from out of state come down to look at our system and see how we put this together, and they were impressed with the technology and all the things that we've done. One of the things that really amazed them was the ability of four cities and four counties to come together, build this organization and this system, and then operate it. And there's a lot of people come from areas where cities and counties just can't work together, and they really thought that was something. So we pride ourselves on that too.
Well, absolutely, it's a terrific story, and I think it's one that's really valuable today, because in many areas it would be a duplication of investments if you had four different cities and four different counties, each building their own head end and everything else. But let me ask, how did that start? Was there one city that had the idea and others came along, or do you all know each other already? How did that relationship begin?
Well, we worked together, and they originally, I think, were looking at doing some kind of purchasing for electrical type equipment, transformers and poles and that kind of thing, and see if we could do like a central warehouse. And I believe that's where the original idea came from. And if I remember right, I believe that was through the city of Cairo and Thomasville that originally started those discussions. And like I said, Thomasville had their system, and once we got talking about this, each city did a business plan, if you will, and looked at the cost of getting into the business. And at the time, I was city manager in Camilla, and Camilla was the smallest of the four cities. And without the participation of the other cities, we could just not have made a go of it. The numbers just were not there due to the cost of the head in and the startup and the operation and all that. But when you join all four cities together, then those numbers looked a lot better, and we were able to do it. Each individual city passed resolutions, and we did revenue bonds. And we own the head end, and we own all the fiber, and then each city is responsible for the territory within their particular region.
Did you split the costs on the basis of population?
Some of it is customer based. Some of it was more or less population, but most of it is customer based. Now, with the head in and some of those joint, we just pay 25% each across the board. Some of those things are just divided up by the quarter.
Right.
Most of it's done on customer numbers.
How has the debt repayment gone? Is that according to schedule?
In different cities, did different lengths on their bonds, and I think Moultrie's, we should pay out in I believe it's 2017, so it's not too far down the road.
So what have some of the benefits been? You built this network because you weren't going to get access to the internet on a timely basis otherwise, and you wanted to make sure you had the highest quality of service. What's resulted?
We've estimated we've probably created about 6,000 jobs down here due to the economic development. That's in our four counties. The other things that we did, one of the goals that we wanted to do as an organization was to connect all our schools. And now we have 66 of our schools within those four counties connected with fiber optic cable. And so that enhances their distance learning capabilities, and also their internal networks, payroll, and those types of things. So we're kind of proud of that.
Regarding the schools, I think it's always tremendously important. People, I think, don't understand that in a number of rural areas, schools just have to pay so much. It's a real drag on the budget. Can you compare what your schools are getting from your network versus what they'd have to be getting from the existing providers?
I'm sure there's a savings there, and we, being in a rural area too, we have some schools that were several miles out into the county that would probably never been served had we not started this initiative. But like I said, we've got those schools connected, and we've also partnered with a couple schools in two other counties that are not a members of our organization, but through intergovernmental agreements, we've gone out into two other counties to provide schools in those counties with connectivity.
Regarding the expansion of the network, and you know, you've connected these schools, and when we talked a little bit before we started recording, you said that there's another town that's connected through one of the four member towns. Has the network expanded beyond that, or could it expand beyond that?
Yes, it could, and we look at those expansions all the time, and currently here in Moultrie, we're looking at doing the same thing in a couple of the smaller outlying towns in our communities that are underserved.
Is there any way that you might recommend for policymakers who are trying to figure out how to connect some of these people in the unincorporated areas where the density is even lower? Have you connected anyone that fits those circumstances?
Yeah, I'm sure whatever the industry standard is for so many customers per mile, that we're way below that. We look at it more as not so much profit-driven, but as I said, a quality of life for the residents and also economic development, because, yeah, some of these outlying areas, and there's businesses out there that rely on the Internet, but they just can't get the speed that they need, and we, if at all possible, we try to get to them and get them hooked up and make it so they have the same capabilities that somebody could have in downtown Atlanta.
I have to ask you something that I ask almost all of our guests that are from rural areas, and that's there's this sense among Washington, D.C. policymakers and some of the other people in big towns that people in rural areas just they don't want to use the Internet or they don't understand how to use it. And I'm always curious to get your reaction as someone who's working in these areas. When someone says that to you, how do you react?
I don't know. Kind of offensive sometimes when you hear that, because that's exactly some of the attitude that we get, that because we're down here in South Georgia that connectivity is not required. And I would invite any of those people to come down here and take a look at it, and usually it just requires some education to show them what's happening down here and the technology that takes place. I'll give you a short example. Several years ago, when we were just getting into the business, our Forest City Authority was having a meeting in one of our cities, and we were going to invite our state representative, who was in Atlanta at the time, and we were going to video conference him into our meeting that we were having at the time down in Manila. We could not get connectivity to Atlanta in Atlanta, so we had our representative took him to the Municipal Electric Authority of Georgia, which is our electric organization, and we had somebody drive him up there, and we connected then from their headquarters in north part of Atlanta to Camilla so we could have that video conference, because they did not have that capability in downtown Atlanta at that time.
Yeah, that's a good story. You know, we hear those sorts of things. I mean, a lot of people still don't realize that in many of these towns where you've done it yourself, you have the technology far ahead of others, even in urban areas.
Oh, yeah. If you come in here and if you tell our hospitals and our schools and our businesses that they don't need or deserve the same service that they're getting in other larger areas, larger population areas, I think they'd hear a pretty good argument from our business community.
Well, in fact, they did, right? I mean, there's this bill that is now fortunately stopped in the Georgia legislature, the Georgia General Assembly, that would have made it very hard for other communities to do what you've done, and it would have made it harder for you to expand. So I'm very glad that you were able to make sure your voice would be heard in that process, and the legislature sensibly voted not to restrict your authority.
Absolutely, and I think that's the third time that that's come up, that they've tried to do a preemptive strike on us through legislation. And we were fortunate again to have that defeated, and I would expect it to come again, but we keep getting a stronger voice. But it's a tough fight when you're fighting those big dollar companies. I mean, they got a lot of money and lobbyists and things like that that we can't do, and it's a uphill battle. But fortunately, we had good representation in the legislature, and those people fought the fight for us, and it was a lot of hard work, but we were happy with the outcome.
Yes, well, I think that something that's often missed is that while all of those companies basically live in the legislature, and there are a few representatives of Georgia municipalities that are able to also spend a lot of time in the legislature. You know, for a city manager to drive up there and testify and spend a day, that's a real hit. You know, that's a real chunk of your job that you have to put on pause to go and take care of this. And I just hope that I would love for you not to have to do that again.
Yeah, me too.
I'm always amazed at just how many interesting stories there are from towns that have done really great things that too few people know about.
Yeah, it's by no means been easy. I mean, there's been a lot of work to it, a lot of pain,
yeah,
all that kind of thing, but it's coming along, and we're into the telephone business also. I think cell phones going to change that playing field, but we do offer telephone service.
Yeah, I kind of suspect that in another 5 or 10 years, people will think, why would I pay for a phone call in the same way that they think, why would I pay for an email?
Yeah, what I think you're going to see is it's going to get away from the residential, and it's going to be into the small business and commercial, because they're still going to have that
right
landline, switchboard type thing, and I think that's where you're going to see it go. I mean, we're talking over voice over IP right now. We've installed that in all of our city offices here,
mm-hmm.
and we've cut our phone bill about 50%.
Wow.
I mean, that's the future, and we want to be there, and had we not done it, we'd still be picking up the crumbs.
Well, is there anything else that we should know about Moultrie that we haven't covered?
We did a DVD that we made available to some of our legislators, and also explains the kind of the history of our 4-city authority, and we could also make that available to you, and you could use it however you wish. But I think it's a good thing, just telling our story from starting from scratch, really zero customers, and we're up to 18,000 customers now. We're still looking at growing, and we've become a pretty big operation.
Yes, we'd love to see the DVD and love to put it up on our website and share it with others. So please do share that with us, and we'll get it up with our along with this story.
Sure, we'd be happy to do that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I appreciate you having us.
That was Christopher and City Manager Mike Scott from Moultrie, Georgia. We hope you get the chance to check out the video Mike mentioned that describes the network and its benefits. You can also learn more about the community by visiting the city website at MoultrieGA.com. Follow the CNS button for Community Network Services to learn details about what the network offers residents and business customers. We want your questions or comments. Email us at podcast@muninetworks.org. Follow us on Twitter to learn about all the most recent developments relating to community networks, broadband policy, and telecommunications. Our handle is @CommunityNets. This show was released on March 26, 2013. Thanks to D. Charles Spear and the Helix for their song, Freddy's Lapels, licensed using Creative Commons. Thanks for listening.